offering my most humble and loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. This is your friend Prem from Team Radio Sai welcoming you to yet another session of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, a program completely based on Bhagwan's divine discourses. And if you've been following us in the past couple of weeks, we are studying the discourses delivered by Bhagwan as part of the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality delivered during the year 1990. Dear listeners, to host this program today, I have with me a guest, and I have the pleasure of introducing to you my brother from the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, and Hari Shankar is joining me today to host this program, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Sai Ram Hari, and welcome to you.
Sai Ram Prem, thank you for having me on.
Yes, dear listeners, as you've been following us, the discourse we are dealing with right now is the third discourse in the series, which was delivered on 21st of May, 1990. The first discourse was on Indian culture, spirituality, and what culture should do to you, samskriti, as Swami would put it. And the second discourse was completely focused on understanding the human body. What are the different names for the human body? What is the relationship to a human life to a human body? Which is something which is quite often misunderstood. And the third discourse in the series is again about the human body, but Swami is introducing a few other very interesting aspects in the human body here. The discourse is entitled The Moving Temple. Hari, before we go to the clips which we will be discussing today, I'll quickly add sum up what we've been listening in this discourse in the last week.
Yes, that would set the continuation
right.
For this.
And if you'd like to add something, please be free to
definitely
do so.
Yeah.
You know, Swami started off that discourse with a very important writer. He said, because the first discourse was completely talking about the transient nature of the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said that shariram means that which is constantly decaying.
Hmm.
Deham means something which has to be burnt.
Oh, okay.
So Swami is, you know, Swami was going on saying about the intransient nature of the human body. Of course, Swami also mentioned that the body is an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
The body is a temple. The body is a field, because what you sow,
kshetra,
so you reap.
Yes.
So this discourse, Swami started by making a very clear statement, saying that although the body is transient, one must take care of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami is emphasizing both things which he wants to make very clear in this discourse, emphasizing once again that the body is transient and also the body has to be taken care of.
And not taken care of in the sense like as we generally
pampered,
understand
maybe.
It. Not yes, exactly. It's not pampered. The way we understand it is like we build the body so that we can show it off to
right.
others. But the context is a very high, very noble one. And it says that the context for caring for body, it's not for exhibiting or for enjoyment, but it comes out of recognizing who is the indweller.
Right.
Because of the immense value of who the indweller is, the body also becomes valuable.
Right. In fact, the padyam with which Swami starts this discourse, Swami says that this body is a treasure chest,
mm-hmm.
in which is housed the most important of all treasures.
Yes.
And that is why this body has to be taken care of.
Yes.
And then Swami goes on to say how every culture and every religion actually emphasize this importance of taking care of the human body.
Hmm.
And Swami said how, you know, you have the Roman civilization,
hmm.
where you have this concept of a gymnasium which started
yes.
there.
Yes.
And Swami said they started this because they realized the importance of the human body.
Yes.
And because the human body is a means, is a tools to achieve nobler ends.
Yes.
And then Swami went on to say how in different religions also this is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could see this in the cultures around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like in India, yoga,
yes.
the asanas was so important, such an important part of spiritual you know, practice. And if you look at the Far East, the martial arts like Kung Fu and the Karate and all these other martial arts, they were also a very, very spiritually evolved subject.
Yes.
They were not just for physical well-being or physical...
It was intertwined.
Intertwined.
The two were not separate.
Right.
Two ends were
bringing
not
in the idea that to take care of the body is actually a very, very spiritual pursuit.
Yes.
Then Swami, you know, brought a very beautiful relationship. Swami wanted to distinguish between body and Atma.
Okay.
Where Swami said, the Atma resides in the body,
mm-hmm.
but it does not grow or die with the body.
Okay. It's a permanent principle.
Right.
Unchanging.
It does not, and Swami brings in the analogy, a very beautiful analogy, that, you know, a diamond in the garbage will still hold its value.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said the Atma does not demean itself because it's in a poor body, mm-hmm. or if it's in a deformed body, or if it's in a, you know, mentally not very smart person's body.
Right.
The Atma is always, you know, splendorous, and its splendor never reduces
mm-hmm.
with the container. And Swami gave a very beautiful poem in that part of the discourse, where Swami said, can you kill a snake by hitting the anthill?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you attain liberation by punishing the body?
Body. Yeah.
And he was, you know, we spoke of it as a myth buster, where we believe that for the soul to progress, the body is invariably has to suffer.
Yes.
And Swami said that is not true. And it's a fallacy to imagine that. And another very beautiful point which Swami said was that the body is ever new. The body which is given to you is new.
Mm.
Okay. But you are called Manava.
Mm-hmm.
Manava is the one who is not new.
The ancient
Nava
one.
Means new. Manava means one who is not new. The ancient one.
The ancient.
So Swami is saying that you are called human. The meaning of the word is you are ancient.
Mm.
And the body is new.
New.
Very clearly saying that you are not the body.
Correct. Yeah.
The human birth is just contained in this human body, but it is not all that the human body has to offer.
Yes.
And then Swami went on to talk about the importance of limits. Swami said the body is a limited company.
Mm.
He said, you know, everything has to be within limits, from your blood pressure to your temperature to your, you know, blood count and everything else.
Yes.
It has to be in a certain limit. And in fact, that is, I think, going to be the predominant theme of the clips to follow, what we'll be discussing today. And then Swami just touched upon the different kinds of knowledge in a human life or human society,
mm-hmm.
where Swami said one is bookish knowledge, which is gathered knowledge. Then Swami said then comes general knowledge, common knowledge,
mm.
then practical knowledge and discrimination knowledge.
Yes.
And Swami said, you know, bookish knowledge is the easiest thing to gather, and that is what most people end up doing.
Yeah, you and I specialize. most of us,
because that's,
yeah.
You know, we think that that is actually a very scholarly thing to achieve. But Swami was saying that bookish knowledge is the easiest thing.
Yes,
all you need to do is read a few books.
Being out there requires you to,
right.
as he says, no, the hierarchy, like you have to go to this common sense and
right.
general knowledge. And then you have to have discriminative knowledge.
And you know, that's when Swami says these things like general knowledge, common knowledge and practical knowledge
mm-hmm.
comes when you learn it when you're in the society.
Yes, out there.
Swami said that is why the relevance of service comes in.
Mm.
When you do activity in society, when you do it selflessly, that itself will lead you to, apart from attaining the practical and common knowledge, will also lead you to attain the higher one, which is discrimination knowledge.
Yes, just as we distinguish in education field also, we say like apart from the core subjects you learn, what really has you succeed in life is your soft skills.
Right.
So these are some of the things that present education system ignores, but that's what actually, you know, a person has to possess these skills in order to be able to succeed.
And in fact, you know, Swami says that discrimination knowledge also,
mm-hmm.
it can be used for one's selfish ends,
yes.
or for the higher good.
Mm-hmm.
And when Swami saying, you know, Swami talks of yukti, Swami would often talk of great saints exhibiting that quality of yukti
mm-hmm.
for somebody else's benefit. Swami said that is important. You know, you might even attain discrimination knowledge, but after discriminating, if you do something which is harmful for the people at large,
mm-hmm.
then you still are, you know, the knowledge cycle is not complete.
Right.
So that was where the discourse ended last week.
Mm-hmm.
So should we go on to the next clip? And
yeah, we can play it and have the discussion for this session.
Yes, dear listeners, we're going to play for you the fourth clip. We played three clips last week. This is going to be the fourth clip in that discourse. Following this clip, we will discuss about the points Swami makes in this discourse clip.
ఈ దేహము అనిత్యము అశాశ్వతము అయినప్పటికీ నిత్య సత్యాన్ని గుర్తించేంత వరకు కూడాను ఈ దేహమును ఆధారంగా మనం తీసుకోవాలి.
Although this physical body is impermanent and transient, to understand the divinity which is existing in this, we have
అనేక మంది ఈ దేహ పోషణ లోపల అలక్ష్యం చేస్తున్నారు.
Many people are rather indifferent in looking at the physical body. That is the reason why they are getting different
diseases.
Man has not been able to enjoy bliss because of these diseases.
Dharmartha kama mochanam arogyam mulamuttamam.
In order to achieve
chaturvidha purushartamulainatundi dharmartha kamamulu kodanu manam aashinchavallanu anubhavinchavallanu ee dehamulaku aarogyam athyavasaram.
In order to enjoy and experience the four goals of human life, physical health and physical body are very important.
Aithe deeniki ye vidhamaina margaanni manam anusarinchali.
But what path should we take?
Deenini sariyainatundi yokka vicharana cheta ప్రవర్తనలో మార్పులు మనం తెప్పించుకోవాలి.
వీ షుడ్ బ్రింగ్ అబౌట్ ప్రాపర్ చేంజెస్ ఇన్ అవర్ కాండక్ట్ అండ్ బిహేవియర్ త్రూ ప్రాపర్ ఇన్క్వైరీ.
అంతో కలిగేటువంటి యొక్క ఆరోగ్యం కంటే మానసిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి యొక్క అనారోగ్యమే ఈనాడు అభివృద్ధి అవుతుండాలి.
టుడేస్ వరల్డ్ ది మెంటల్ డిసీజెస్ ఆర్ గ్రేటర్ దాన్ ద డిసీజెస్ అరైజింగ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఫుడ్.
నిరంతరము కూడాను మానవుడు యోచించటము
కంటిన్యూస్లీ మ్యాన్ ఈజ్ అండర్టేకింగ్ టు థింక్ అండ్ వరీ.
యోచన కనేటువంటి దానికి రూపం ఏమిటి?
What is the form of this worry?
ఈ విచారము అనేటువంటి దానికి రూపం ఏమిటి?
What is the form of this
worry? What is the shape of worry?
What is the shape of worry?
It is only mental created fear. కనుక మనం మానసిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆలోచనల చేతనే మనం అనారోగ్యంకు గురి అవుతున్నాం.
We are getting mental diseases because of unnecessary thinking.
మనం ఏమాత్రం కూడా ఆలోచన చేయకూడదు.
We should not think at all.
ఈ ఆలోచన ఒక్కొక్క సమయం లోపల హద్దు మీరిపోతుంటారు.
దిస్ థింకింగ్ ఈజ్ ఎక్సీడింగ్ లిమిట్స్ సెట్ ఫర్ ఇట్.
ఇది హద్దు మీరిపోయినప్పుడు హస్తవ్యస్తంగా మారిపోతుంది.
ఎక్సెసివ్ థింకింగ్ మేక్స్ ఆల్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్.
తద్వారా కొంతవరకు కూడా మెంటల్ అనగా మానసిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి వ్యాధులు కూడా సంభవిస్తాయి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ మ్యాన్ ఈజ్ సబ్జెక్టెడ్ టు మెంటల్ డిసీజ్.
ఈనాడు లోకము లోపల అనేక మంది మతి భ్రమలు కలగడానికి కారణం ఇదే.
In today's world, so many people are becoming mad because of that excessive thinking.
Entavaraku antavaraku manam chintinchali.
Our thoughts must be always within the limits.
Cheyakudadu.
They should not exceed the limits.
Avasaramainatundi aa samayamlo maatrame manam chintinchali.
Depending upon the exigency of the situation.
Gadichipoyina danini రాబోయే దానిని మనం అనవసరంగా చింతించి అనారోగ్యానికి గురి అవుతున్నాము.
డూ నాట్ బాదర్ అబౌట్ ది పాస్ట్ విచ్ ఇస్ డెడ్ అండ్ ది ఫ్యూచర్ విచ్ ఇస్ అన్బోర్న్.
యువకులు ఈ విధమైనటువంటి వ్యాధులకే గురి అయిపోతున్నారు.
టుడేస్ యూత్ ఆర్ సబ్జెక్టెడ్ టు దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ లిమిటేషన్.
ఒక్కొక్క యూనివర్సిటీ లోపల కూడా మనం పరీక్ష చేసి చూసినప్పుడు 80% 90% అంతా కూడా మానసిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి బ్యాంతుల చేతనే అనారోగ్యాన్ని పొందుతున్నారు.
When a research was undertaken in a number of universities, 80 to 90% of the people are having some kind of mental problem or the other.
Manaku manamu ee vayasu lopala manchi pavitramainatundi vayasu.
This time, this youth is most sacred.
ఈ వయసు నందు మనం ఏమాత్రం కూడా అనారోగ్యం గురి కాకూడదు.
వీ షుడ్ నాట్ సబ్జెక్ట్ అవర్సెల్స్ టు ఎనీ టైప్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఆర్ డిసీజ్.
సాధ్యమైనంత వరకు నువ్వు మానసిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి విచారాలను తగ్గించుకోవడానికి చూసుకోవాలి.
యాజ్ ఫర్ యాజ్ పాసిబుల్ థింక్ విత్ ఇన్ లిమిట్స్.
అధికంగా చదవటం కానీ,
ఎక్సెసివ్ రీడింగ్,
అధికంగా ఆడటం కానీ,
ఎక్సెసివ్ ప్లే,
అధికంగా పాడటం కానీ,
ఎక్సెసివ్,
అధికంగా నిద్రించడం కానీ,
ఎక్సెసివ్ స్లీప్,
ఈ శరీరమునకు హాని కలుగుతుంది.
ఆల్ దీస్ విల్ హార్మ్ ద ఫిజికల్ బాడీ.
ఇంతే కాదు, మనము సీలింగ్ ఆన్ డిజైన్స్ లోపల నాలుగు రకములైనటువంటి ఒక విధిగా మనం బోధిస్తూ వచ్చాము.
వీ హావ్ ఆల్రెడీ జస్ట్ సీన్ ఫోర్ టైప్స్ ఎర్లియర్.
మొదటిది డోంట్ వేస్ట్ ఫుడ్.
First one is don't waste food.
Indukosam mana waste cheyakoddu.
Why should we not waste food?
Food is God.
Because food is God.
Manam ee food nunchine vachinatundi aakarame mana yokka jeevithamu.
This physical body has come from food.
Idi aaharamayamainatundi jeevithamu.
It is full of food.
Idi annamayamainatundi jeevithamu.
This is food sweet.
Idi annagata pranamu.
This lives on food only.
కనుకనే మనం ఆహారమును వ్యర్థం చేసినప్పుడు మన జీవితాన్ని వ్యర్థం గాదించుకున్నటువంటి వారం.
దట్ ఈస్ ద రీజన్ వై వేస్టింగ్ ఫుడ్ ఈజ్ ఈక్వల్ టు వేస్టింగ్ లైఫ్.
ఇంకా డోంట్ వేస్ట్ మనీ.
సెకండ్ వన్ ఈజ్ డోంట్ వేస్ట్ మనీ.
మిస్యూజ్ ఆఫ్ మనీ ఈజ్ ఈవిల్.
మిస్యూజ్ ఆఫ్ మనీ ఈజ్ ఈవిల్.
ఈనాడు యువకులు అనవసరమైన రీతిగా కూడా ఖర్చులు చేస్తున్నారు.
టుడేస్ యూత్ ఆర్ వేస్టింగ్ మనీ ఇన్ ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ వేస్.
ఇది దురభ్యాసములకు గురి అవుతుంది.
దిస్ లీడ్స్ టు బ్యాడ్ హ్యాబిట్స్.
దుర్మార్గంలో ప్రవేశింపచేస్తుంది.
యు ఆర్ లైక్లీ టు గో ఆన్ ద వికెట్ పాత్.
అనేక విధమైనటువంటి అశాంతికి గురి చేస్తుంది.
అండ్ దట్ విల్ పుట్ యూ టు ఎ ల్యాక్.
సాధ్యమైనంత వరకు దీనిని తగ్గించుకోవడానికి ప్రయత్నించాలి.
రెడ్యూస్ ది ఎక్స్పెండిచర్ టు ద మినిమం.
ఇది సరైనది కాదు.
ఎక్సెసివ్ ఎక్స్పెండిచర్ ఇస్ నాట్ గుడ్.
మన భారతదేశము ఆర్థికంగా అనేక రకములైనటువంటి యొక్క చిక్కులలో చేరి ఉంటున్నది.
అవర్ కంట్రీ భారత్ ఈస్ ఫేసింగ్ ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ ఎకనామిక్ అండ్ ఫైనాన్షియల్ ప్రాబ్లమ్.
అలాంటి పరిస్థితులు ఎందు స్వార్థమే అభివృద్ధి కావడం చేతనే ఈ ఎకనామిక్స్ లోపల చాలా హీన పరిస్థితి ఏర్పడిపోయింది.
ఆల్ దీస్ ఎకనామిక్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ హావ్ అరిజన్ ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్.
ఈ స్వార్థము స్వప్రయోజనాన్ని దూరం గావించాలన్నప్పుడే అప్పుడే మన దేశం బాగుపడుతుంది.
వన్స్ యు ఫ్రీ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఫ్రమ్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్ అండ్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్,
సమష్టి భావాన్ని మనం పెంచుకోవాలి.
వీ షుడ్ డెవలప్ దట్ కలెక్టివ్
అప్రోచ్, సమగ్రతను మనం పెంచుకోవాలి.
వీ షుడ్ ఆల్సో బ్రింగ్ అబౌట్ కోఆపరేషన్ అండ్ కలెక్టివిటీ ఇన్ ద నేషన్.
దేశం యొక్క సమగ్రతను మనం పెంచుకోవాలి.
వీ హావ్ టు బ్రింగ్ అబౌట్ వెల్ఫేర్ ఆఫ్ ద నేషన్.
యూనిటీ ఇన్ డైవర్సిటీ.
యూనిటీ ఇన్ డైవర్సిటీ.
ఈ సత్యం వచ్చినప్పుడే మన ఆర్థిక పరిస్థితి గాని ఆధ్యాత్మిక పరిస్థితి గాని చక్కగా సరైన స్థితిలో బ్యాలెన్స్ గా ఉంటుంటాయి.
వెన్ యూ బ్రింగ్ అబౌట్ యూనిటీ ఇన్ డైవర్సిటీ, దెన్ ఓన్లీ
మన జీవితం అంతా కూడా ఒక బ్యాలెన్స్ పైన ఆధారపడి ఉంటుండాలి.
అవర్ ఎంటైర్ లైఫ్ రెస్ట్ ఆన్ బ్యాలెన్స్.
బ్యాలెన్స్ కావాలి.
ఫస్ట్ బ్యాలెన్స్.
కూర్చోవడానికి బ్యాలెన్స్ కావాలి.
వైల్ సిట్టింగ్ డౌన్
సైకిల్ దొక్కడానికి బ్యాలెన్స్ కావాలి.
సైక్లింగ్
కార్ డ్రైవ్ చేయడానికి బ్యాలెన్స్ కావాలి.
కార్ డ్రైవింగ్
యోచన చేయడానికి బ్యాలెన్స్ కావాలి.
థింకింగ్ నీడ్స్
అంత లైఫ్ ఒక బ్యాలెన్స్.
లైఫ్ ఈజ్ బేస్డ్ అపాన్ బ్యాలెన్స్.
ఈ బ్యాలెన్స్ ఈనాడు తప్పిపోయింది.
ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఎ లిటిల్ ఇంబ్యాలెన్స్
కారణం ఏమిటి?
వై ఇస్ ది
మితిమీరిన తెలివి పెరిగిపోయింది?
ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్ ఎక్సెసివ్ క్లెవర్నెస్.
నాలెడ్జ్ చాలా అధికమైపోయింది.
నాలెడ్జ్ హెస్ గ్రోన్ బియాండ్.
ఈ నాలెడ్జ్ ని సక్రమమైన మార్గంలో పెట్టాలంటే దీనిని స్కిల్ చేయాలి.
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు ప్రాపర్లీ యూజ్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఇట్ హ్యాస్ టు బి కన్వర్టెడ్ ఇన్ టు స్కిల్.
ఈ నాలెడ్జ్ ని స్కిల్ చేసినప్పుడే బ్యాలెన్స్ సక్రమంగా ఉంటుంది.
వెన్ యూ కన్వర్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఇన్ టు స్కిల్,
ఈనాటి యువకులు నాలెడ్జ్ ని కిల్ చేస్తున్నారు, దాని వల్ల బ్యాలెన్స్ తప్పిపోయింది.
బట్ అన్ఫార్చునేట్లీ టుడేస్ యూత్ ఆర్ కిల్లింగ్ నాలెడ్జ్, దేర్ ఫార్ ది బ్యాలెన్స్ ఇస్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్. వాట్ ఈస్ ది
మన చూపుల లోపల మన నాలెడ్జ్ అంతా కూడా వ్యర్థమైపోతుండాలి.
వీఆర్ వేస్టింగ్ అవర్ నాలెడ్జ్ త్రూ
మన వినికిడి లోపల కూడా మన నాలెడ్జ్ వ్యర్థమైపోతుండాలి.
త్రూ హియరింగ్
నీ మాటల చేతను నాలెడ్జ్ వ్యర్థమైపోతుండాలి.
త్రూ ఎక్సెసివ్ టాక్
నీ తలపుల చేతను నాలెడ్జ్ వ్యర్థమైపోతుండాలి.
త్రూ ఎక్సెసివ్ థింకింగ్.
దీనికి ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ.
హియర్ ఇస్ ఎ స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
ఒక రేడియో ఉంటుంటుంది.
దేర్ ఇస్ ఎ రేడియో.
ఆ రేడియో లోపల ఏదైనా ఒక స్టేషన్ మనం పెట్టుకున్నాం.
యు హావ్ స్విచ్డ్ ఆన్ ద రేడియో అండ్ పుట్ ఎ స్టేషన్.
దాన్ని శబ్దంగా పెట్టుకోవచ్చును, చాలా నెమ్మదిగా కూడా పెట్టుకోవచ్చు. వాయిస్
ది వాల్యూమ్ మే బి మోర్ ఆర్ ది
వాల్యూమ్ లోపల నీవు ఏమాత్రము వ్యత్యాసం చేయనక్కర్లేదు.
దేర్ ఇస్ నో నీడ్ ఫార్ కన్సిడరింగ్ అబౌట్ ది వాల్యూమ్.
దానిని స్టార్ట్ చేసి పెట్టావంటే
వన్స్ యు ఆన్ ది రేడియో
విను వినకపో.
Whether you listen to radio or not.
పెద్ద శబ్దంగా పెట్టు లేక చిన్న శబ్దంగా పెట్టు.
Whether the volume is more or less.
ఎన్నో యూనిట్లు కరెంట్ వ్యస్తం అవుతుండాలి.
So many units of current is used up.
అదే విధంగానే మన దేహం ఒక రేడియో వంటిది.
Our body may be compared to a radio.
మనం నిరంతరము యోచన చేస్తున్నాం, మాట్లాడుతున్నాం, గట్టిగా మాట్లాడుతున్నాం, తనలో తాను మాట్లాడుతున్నాం, నిద్రలో మాట్లాడుతున్నాం, నిద్ర వచ్చేంత వరకు మాట్లాడుతున్నాం. ఎప్పుడు చూసినా తెల్లవారి లేచింది మొదలు రాత్రి పరుగున్నంత వరకు మనలో మనం మాటలు జరుగుతూనే ఉంటున్నాయి.
రైట్ ఫ్రమ్ డాన్ టు డస్క్, వెదర్ స్లీపింగ్, టాకింగ్, వాకింగ్, వీఆర్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ ఇండల్జింగ్ ఇన్ టాకింగ్ టు అవర్ సెల్ఫ్.
తద్వారా ఎన్ని విధములైనటువంటి ఎంత ఎనర్జీ మనకు వ్యర్థమైపోతుండాలి.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ సచ్ టాక్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ ఎనర్జీ ఈజ్ వేస్ట్.
ఈ ఎనర్జీ వేస్ట్ కావటం చేతనే ఎనర్జీగా మారిపోతుండాలి జీవితం.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ వేస్టింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఎనర్జీ లైఫ్ హ్యాస్ డెవలప్డ్ ఇన్ టు ఎన్ ఎనర్జీ.
కనుక ఈ దేహమునందుంటున్నటువంటి శక్తిని సద్వినియోగపరచుకోవడానికి తగినటువంటి కృషి చేయాలి.
మేక్ యూజ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఎనర్జీ ఇన్ ది బాడీ ఇన్ ఎ ప్రాపర్ వే.
అప్పుడే మనకు చక్కని బ్యాలెన్స్ కూడా ఏర్పడుతుంది.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ వీ విల్ ఎంజాయ్ బ్యాలెన్స్ ఇన్ లైఫ్.
విద్యార్థులారా, దేహం ఆరోగ్యంగా పుష్టిగా సంతృష్టిగా ఉండినప్పుడే మన బ్యాలెన్స్ సరైనటువంటి స్థితిలో మనం అనుభవించవచ్చును.
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, వీ కెన్ ఎంజాయ్ లైఫ్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ అవర్ బాడీ ఈజ్ హెల్తీ, స్ట్రాంగ్.
గడచిన దాన్ని మీరు ఏమాత్రము చింతించదక్కర్లేదు.
డూ నాట్ వరీ అబౌట్ ది పాస్ట్.
పాస్ట్ ఈజ్ పాస్ట్, పరిగెత్తి పాస్ట్. నడుచుకుని వచ్చిన రోడ్డు చూసుకునే వచ్చాం కదా, ఇంక వెనక్కి ఎందుకు చూడాలి?
యు హావ్ ఆల్రెడీ సీన్ ది పాత్ విచ్ హావ్ వాక్డ్ అప్, వై డు యు లుక్ బ్యాక్?
ఇది ఎన్ని లక్షలు ఖర్చు పెట్టినా, ఎన్ని కోట్లు ఖర్చు పెట్టినా తిరిగి ఒక సెకండ్ అయినా ఒక ఇంచ్ అయినా ముందుకు రాదు.
యు కెనాట్ గెట్ బ్యాక్ ది డెడ్ పాస్ట్.
అలాంటి రాణిదాని నిమిత్తమే మనం ఎందుకు యోచన చేయాలి?
వై డు యు వరీ అబౌట్ పాస్ట్ విచ్ యు కెనాట్ గెట్ బ్యాక్?
ఇన్ ద ఫ్యూచర్,
దెన్ ఫ్యూచర్,
భవిష్యత్తు. ఇది భవిష్యత్తు మనకు తెలియనటువంటిది, అగాధమైనటువంటిది.
ఫ్యూచర్ ఇస్ నాట్ నోన్ టు అస్, ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్ఫాథమబుల్.
రేపు రేపు అనేటువంటి భావం చేసినప్పుడు రేపటి వరకు మనం ఉండేది ఏం ష్యూరిటీ?
యూ మే సే టుమారో, బట్ వేర్ ఇస్ ది గ్యారంటీ దట్ విల్ లివ్ ఫర్ టుమారో?
రేపు అనేటువంటిది ఏమాత్రం మనకు నమ్మకం ఉంది?
టుమారో దేర్ ఇస్ నో గ్యారంటీ అబౌట్ టుమారో.
కనుక నమ్మకం లేనటువంటి దాని నిమిత్తమై మనం ఎందుకు యోచన చేయాలి?
వై డూ యూ థింక్ అబౌట్ టుమారో? యూఆర్ నాట్ షూర్ ఆఫ్ టుమారో.
కనుక అలాంటి షూర్ కానటువంటి దానికి ఇన్సూర్ చేయటం ఎందుకు?
వై డూ యూ ఇన్సూర్ ఫ్యూచర్ విచ్ ఇస్ నాట్ ష్యూర్?
ఈ రెండు రకములైనటువంటి చింతల చేతనే మన జీవితం వ్యర్థమైపోతుండాలి.
వీఆర్ వేస్టింగ్ అవర్ లైఫ్ బై దీస్ టూ కైండ్స్.
మానవుడు యువకులు దుఃఖములకు గురి కావటము, విచారములకు గురి కావటము, అనారోగ్యం గురి కావటము కారణం ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఈస్ ది రీజన్ ఫర్ టుడేస్ మ్యాన్స్ గ్రీఫ్?
ఉన్నదానితో తృప్తి పడక లేనిదానికే అవస్థలు పడుతున్నాడు, అందువల్లనే అశాంతి గురి అవుతున్నాడు.
వీఆర్ సఫరింగ్ స్ట్రైఫ్ అండ్ గ్రీఫ్ బికాస్ వీఆర్ నాట్ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ విత్ వాట్ వీ హ్యావ్. We are simply aspiring to have which we cannot get.
Vidyarthulara,
they are students.
Gatamu, gatam.
Past is
bhavishyattu, bhavishyattu.
Future is future.
Ee rendintine manam vicharanakkaledu. Vartamanam chaala pradhanamainatundi.
Let us not bother about those.
Present, present, present.
Present is very important. Present.
This is not ordinary present. This is omnipresent.
Present is not ordinary present. This is omnipresent.
Anaga emti bhavishyattu yokka ఫలితము ఈ యొక్క ప్రజెంట్ లో ఉంటుండాలి, పాస్ట్ యొక్క ఫలితము ప్రజెంట్ లోనే ఉంటుండాలి.
వాట్ డూ యూ మీన్ బై ఆమ్నీ ప్రజెంట్? ది ఫ్యూచర్స్ ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆర్ అవైలబుల్ ఇన్ ద ప్రజెంట్.
ముందు ఏ విత్తనం నాటావో ఆ యొక్క మొక్కనే ఇప్పుడు వచ్చింది.
వాట్ ఎవర్ సీడ్ యువర్ సోన్ ఇన్ ద పాస్ట్,
ఇప్పుడు ఏ మొక్కను నాటావో ఆ ఫలమే ముందుకు అనుభవిస్తావు.
వాట్ ఎవర్ సీడ్ యువర్ సోయింగ్ టుడే యువర్ గోయింగ్ టు రీప్
ఫ్యూచర్ అండ్ ప్రజెంట్. పాస్ట్ రెండు కూడా ప్రజెంట్ లో ఉంటున్నాయి.
దేర్ ఫోర్ present in the present you find
vartamananni sakramaina margamlo anubhavinchandi.
Therefore enjoy present.
Yetti vicharamulaku avakasam nandinchakoodadu.
Do not give room for any worry.
Ee sakramaina margamlo anubhavinchinappude mana jeevitham aadarshavantamaina jeevithanga roopondutundi.
Only when we present enjoy present
abhutamaina jeevithanga roopondutundi,
then only it will be immortal.
Amaratvanni pondutundi.
It will be able to get immortality.
Manavatvanni saarthakamga avistundi.
It will sanctify man's life.
Yes, Hari, this discourse clip also Swami is starting in quite the similar way he started the discourse. Because Swami is starting at the point that, you know, the body has to be taken care of in spite of it being transient.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be taken care of until Atma is realized.
Yes. In fact, you know, even as I was listening to this discourse, it brought to mind one episode with Kasturiji. Actually, he relates it in Loving God,
okay,
the book Loving God. So in that he mentions this incident. So he says this was around the time when Swami used to go very often to the Chitravati sands,
mm-hmm,
and many wonders would be created over there. He, mm-hmm, used to materialize objects out of the Chitravati sands. So one day Swami seemed, you know, not very keen to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many devotees who were collected. They were really praying that Swami should take them there.
Right.
For the, you know, like they would have a lot of wondrous things to see. So they actually prayed to Kasturiji to represent their demand to Swami. And then he goes to Swami,
mm-hmm,
and he tells Swami, Swami, like, why don't we go to the Chitravati sand? Swami says, why? Why do you want to go there? No, Swami, so many devotees are collected here. Let us go. And Swami says, I know why you want me to go there. You want me to create things out of the sand. And apparently at that time there was some construction work going on near the mandir.
Okay.
And Swami says, see, all this construction sand is there. We can as well sit here and do it. And by that time Kasturiji is a little tongue-tied. And he just says, like, Swami, like, people want to see these miracles, you know. And that time Swami makes a very stunning statement. And he says, miracles and miracles you clamor, but you are not aware of my biggest miracle. And even as Kasturiji was wondering what could be that biggest miracle, Swami said, you are my biggest miracle. He says, mankind, man is God's biggest miracle. And here he is reminding us of of what really this miracle called man is all about. And that we are a miracle, how do we express it in our lives? So I that's what it immediately struck me, that the way God sees us and the way we see ourselves.
Exactly. I think, you know, a miracle greater than the human body is the fact that having this human body, we are not recognizing this miracle.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a greater miracle that how Swami has managed to keep us in the dark.
Yes.
Now, coming to this discourse,
yes.
Again, Swami talks about importance of modulation and, limit in everything.
Yes, that is the main theme of the entire discourse. And instead of limiting, I would see it more as balance.
Absolutely.
The theme is more about balance in life rather than limiting. See, that is one way of looking at it is to say that we should not enjoy certain things. We should limit our enjoyment of certain things.
Right.
But Swami used to say enjoy is just another way of saying end joy. So there is something that we are missing by our indulging ourselves completely in the pleasures that the body has to offer. So that is what Swami is trying to bring out over here. But even before this, you see the very first thing that Swami says, that for achieving the four purusharthas, that is dharma, artha, kama and moksha. That is to say, dharma is good works, artha is the earning of money.
Living.
Yeah. Earning a living. Kama is satisfying the desires. And moksha is enlightenment, liberation. For all of these, to achieve all these purusharthas. So according to the Indian scriptures, these are the goals of human life. The four goals. Right. What every man sets out to achieve from in his journey from the cradle to the grave. And he says for all this, to be able to be complete in expressing this, your bodily health is highly essential.
Mm-hmm.
So he begins by setting that that context, and this is something we actually in the Central Trust we had once tried to come up with what is Swami's vision or what is Swami's mission for the hospitals,
mm-hmm.
and we realized that while going through all his discourses, the reason why Swami wanted people to be healthy is that so that they can achieve these purusharthas and ultimately achieve liberation through a healthy body.
In fact, Swami was telling in a discourse which we were going through the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is saying that all miracles that I do and all things that I do to solve the problems you come to me with is so that your mind can be uncluttered of all these things and you can focus on your goal.
Yes.
You know, it is not this for which I have come. I have not come to solve your medical problems. I have not come to remove your financial obstacles. I do all this so that now I've cleared your mind of all these things. Now focus on your goal.
Yeah, you can accelerate forward on what you set out to achieve. Yeah.
And talking of Swami speaking of modulation and moderation, in food and Swami goes on to name everything else. A very interesting thing in the Tri session in 95, Swami defined non-violence in a completely different way. Swami said, doing anything which will harm your body is also non-violence.
Is also not, yes.
And in that he said, too much of, even here Swami
violence to yourself.
Yeah, too much of playing, too much of reading, too much of talking.
Exactly.
Swami said, those all come under non-violence.
Yes.
Those all come under
violence. Yeah.
And those have to be avoided.
Yes. And just before that, there's one very interesting point which Swami brings out here. And he says one of the main causes of illness, he says it comes about more by mental worry than by your consuming bad food, as he says, unhealthy food. And the next sentence is a very beautiful one. What is the shape of worry? And that is something which we never realize that, if I ask you, here is a bottle or here's a tumbler and here is a mic, so I can... When I show you this, the mic, you can see the mic, you can come here, you can feel it.
Right.
But if I ask you, in this room, show me worry. You can never show me worry. You cannot show me what anxiety is. And that is the interesting thing. So Swami says this is created. And I remember one incident that happened in my life. And this was a time when I was going through a lot of tumult in my mind. I thought, there were a lot of thoughts that were troubling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting really anxious, and I had an occasion to go to Vrindavan at that time. I remember it was darshan time, and it was a casual darshan, but these thoughts were still assailing my mind. And Swami was just walking, and all of a sudden, he called some of the volunteers there, and he said, "Arrange my table for a discourse."
Mm-hmm.
And like everyone was so, you know, excited that Swami is going to give a discourse unplanned. I mean, unscheduled.
Okay.
Very first sentence in that discourse, Swami said, "All your joys and all your sorrows are only in your imagination." And that was it. Suddenly I realized that how much of this I had created, how much of this I had made up. And having made it up, I was struggling with it. And that I think is a very important point, as this mental peace, as Swami goes on to say, actually will reduce a lot of our illnesses. Many of these illnesses, Swami used to say, arise because of some of these thoughts. We could say negative thoughts. You know, these are the thoughts which actually engender disease in our body. And one of Swami says over here, so one of the inquiries we can do is like, when we have such thoughts, are they for real? They aren't. So they're created by us.
And you know, the interesting thing is, Swami, the way he puts it, he says there should be a limit on anxiety and worries.
Yes,
almost
yes.
Permitting a few worries and anxieties.
In the sense, I think what he is really saying over here is, one interpretation is that, you see, a lot of our thinking, what we think, oh, we are thinking a lot on a certain subject, but very little of it is deliberate.
Right.
So Swami is actually using the word chinta, which I think in Telugu it can mean that you are deliberating on a certain subject or you are merely experiencing worry.
Right.
So we can distinguish between these kind of thoughts that we have. There are directed thoughts when you have to weigh options, deliberate over something. And there are thoughts which are random. They really don't serve any purpose. So I think Swami is really distinguishing. He says there has to be a limit to speculation. Yes, do we need to speculate? Yes, we need to. Do we need to worry about something in the sense that what are the different scenarios? Yes, we have to. But he says, like, be aware of how much of it is really necessary.
Right. You know, that's what I was wondering, because, you know, when you talk of anxiety, you talk of worry.
Hmm.
Even some things like, let us say, introspection.
Hmm.
Something like you want to, Swami talks of repentance, the value of repentance. When you do a mistake, when you sincerely repent, even those will come under anxiety and, you know, chinta, as Swami puts it.
Yeah.
So, as you say, there are some things which are necessary,
yes.
But everything is good only in their limits.
Yes, absolutely.
When they start defining you and they start overpowering you,
yes.
Then I think that's the alarm signal which has to go out.
Exactly. And this is one more thing, like here, although of course a summer course is directed towards students, but he mentions this, a study of university students show that 80-90% of the students, etc., they undergo, you know, they suffer from some kind of mental disorder. And then he says, like, this is the most precious stage of their lives. And this is something which has been a theme, like, throughout Swami's life. Because Swami sees this period of youth, he sees that as one of the most important periods in one's life, when you can contribute most to society. And which is why he had directed so much of his efforts towards giving these teachings to that, you know, category of people. Because on the one hand, they are most prone to making mistakes of the kind which he details over here.
Right.
But the contribution in the sense that once such mistakes are removed from one's life, it allows you to contribute so much more to society. And that is the right age for that.
And also, you know, talking about when Swami is saying don't worry about the future, which he comes to much later, I think it makes more sense in this age group.
You know, precisely.
Because as they say, the more you grow older, the more you look backwards.
Exactly.
And you know, in a very younger age, maybe something lesser than a youth, you don't look so far away. I remember, you know, once in a Thrai session, there was a little boy who was, you know, son of one of the doctors in the hospital there.
Hmm.
So that was the year he was joining for first standard.
Okay.
So I think his parents had written a letter as though he was writing to Swami, saying that, "Swami, by your grace, I've got admission into the first standard in your primary school. Very grateful, always keep me at your lotus feet." A 4-line letter. And so this boy was sitting in the Thrai session that day. You know, you can imagine, a very tiny boy, a few months before he could join the school. And needless to say, when he put out that letter, Swami got attracted to him and came to him. took the letter. Swami stood there and read out that letter aloud. All of us around could hear what Swami was saying.
Mm.
And Swami looked at the boy and said, "Oh, you're joining first standard?"
Mm.
So he said, "Yes, Swami, I'm joining." So after first standard, then there'll be second standard, third standard, fourth standard. And that boy was smiling. Okay, then Swami said, "You'll come to 10th standard. You will take commerce or science." And you know, you could imagine that that boy had not looked so far ahead. You see, commerce is what Swami is saying. Then Swami is saying, okay, if you see, if you take commerce, you can do BCom and then do MBA. But if you take science, you can do BSc, MSc, and you can do PhD. What are you interested in? And you know, you could see that boy's face that he had not seen so far. He thought all that he had to do in his life was to make sure that he gets into that first standard in Swami's primary school. So, you know, looking at that, as you said, this is such an important age because this is the age where you are looking back and looking forward.
Wow, that's a beautiful insight actually.
So I think the anxieties are likely to be maximum, you know, in this age.
Yeah. And yeah, as you were saying, like the way, like Swami also talks about this, excessive reading, playing, singing and sleeping. Essentially, youth is a lot of excess. And so, because all of it comes from one way of looking at life, which is to say, this is the one life we have. That is one of the most prevalent thoughts in society today. This is the one life that we have. Why not make the best of it? And as Swami said, body is a limited company. And more than that, we are a going concern. See, in accounting terms, mm-hmm. there is a concept called going concern. That is, the accounts of a company are never treated as if the company ends with that year.
Right.
So there is something that is carried forward to the next year. So that is a perspective that Indian philosophy brings in, that you are not a company that ends that year. You are a going concern. And so there are things from this life which will get carried on to another life. Likewise, you have brought in something from a previous life. So that is the perspective that Indian philosophy brings. And once you get there, so you know that, you know, there is a purpose. And it overturns the entire philosophy of saying there is this one life. And in that context, some of these things we need to re-examine, like our lives. Like, are we doing excess of something or less of something?
In fact, you know, yes, Swami is mentioning that you're singing too much, playing too much.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things which Swami used to tell the bhajan singers those days, I remember some of my classmates where Swami was telling that you're practicing too much, not good for your throat.
Oh.
You know, because when you take to arts, you think the more you practice, the more sincerity you're showing, you know, the more reverence you're showing to the art. But Swami would say, talk of balance even there.
Yes.
You know, too much of studying also, even if you look at the way Swami has structured the schedule in the hostel. A very good balance of everything is given there. There is time for playing. You are supposed to play. You know, there is a fixed time for studying. And you know, if you can call this an experiment in education, the flying colors are something like what we see in the 12th standard results every year.
Yes.
You know, because, I mean, we've all gone through 12th standard elsewhere. You know, we've seen the rigor of going through a 12th standard in schools outside, and it's just getting worse, you know, these years.
In complete exclusion to all else that life has to offer, yeah.
Right, and you know, when you go through that 10th standard or 12th standard, you're shut out from life completely.
Absolutely.
You know, you're supposed to do only that study.
Yeah.
But the same thing, you look at students here, the students who study 12th standard, you know, they come, there's a gratitude program. I'm sure, I don't know how many hours of study.
During the exams
effort,
itself.
During the exams. Effort would have gone into it. And you know, they still come and play. When we were playing, you can see that they will also be playing.
Yeah.
And they would come and spend time in the mandir too. So, you know, typically, 12th standard or 10th standard outside, it's like, you stop playing, you start praying, and you only study. But here it's like you still play, you still pray, you still study. And that balance is maintained throughout, and the results are there to see.
Yeah, but and one way of looking at it is like, as you said, this is an experiment. And what the system shows that when you can direct your energies exclusively towards the one thing, the task that is on hand, the kind of results that you see. So when they play hard.
Absolutely.
And then when they work hard. And you can see the results. You get more out of life.
Very true.
Yes.
And then, you know, coming to the next point, which is a huge topic by itself, ceiling on desires.
The ceiling on desires.
Which is something which Swami has dwelt on so deeply And in fact, I remember Sealing on Desires, the time when Swami was introducing this as a major concept even in the Satsai organization, where Swami would talk of every day you put aside some food,
yes,
and at the end of a month you pull it all together and do an Narayan Seva. And so many other practical ways of implementing the Sealing on Desires Swami had given. You know, at that time Swami had in fact told, it seems, that Sealing on Desires is actually an expression of civilization.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, you know, if you look at the way the resources of nature are used now.
Yes, absolutely.
It really shows that, you know, there's somewhere the Sealing on Desires as something which will benefit the world at large was something we missed out.
Exactly. So that is a very important point. Actually, he brings up this point a little later, that with indiscriminate spending of money, indiscriminate use of resources, etc. But the point that you made is very important, that it is a hallmark of a civilization, Sealing on Desires. Now, why would Swami say something like that? So, we say that a society is civilized when it takes care of itself, when, you know, the more a society takes care of its citizens, yes, and the long, as you said, sustainable, how the longer the society can keep up this kind of living, that's when you say it is civilized. So that so Swami equates this, that the fact that as you said, you know, when let's say Sealing on Desires, when you say don't waste food, so you set aside certain amount of food. You're setting aside for whom? It's not for yourself, not to throw a banquet to yourself.
Right.
It is to throw, I mean, it is to create Narayan Seva for people who really need it. So you can see that the equation, you see, when you start taking care of your fellow men, that is when you are civilized. And then when many people do it, the entire society itself is civilized.
Very true. In fact, you know, once when we were talking to Dr. Hema from the General Hospital, she was bringing this out, how this came as an introspection, as a result of her introspection. She was saying, because Swami emphasizes on simplicity, when they used to come from the United States, when they were still settled there, they would come to Bangalore and, you know, take a bus. Imagine they would travel in a luxurious aircraft, land in Bangalore and take a bus and come to Puttaparthi.
Yes.
They would say, why we should spend on a taxi. You know, it was very fine because you're living a simple life. But she said, at one point we were thinking, yes, we are saving the money, but what are we doing with the money?
Yeah.
And then it struck her that maybe if I take a taxi, I might actually be letting somebody follow a very rightful means of living.
Yes.
I might be giving a section of society a rightful means of living.
Yes. So you can actually see that there are twin purposes being served over here. On one side, the Sealing on Desires, it creates the need for balance within yourself.
Absolutely.
You see, like as we say, this balance comes about because the previous point which Swami said is that there should not be, you should not be depriving yourself of certain things. Do not deprive yourself of food. No, do not.
Right.
And depriving your senses of certain kinds of enjoyment is counterproductive. But now he's bringing the point that even excess is not good. So where do we draw the fine line? Like what? How do we bring about this kind of balance? So I would really think, like, you know, this balance, where does it come from? What kind of person has that kind of balance? And you can see that it is a person who has a quiet mind, who is still. And if we put ourselves in the place of such a person, and you will see that our actions, they tend to be automatically this way. Like when Swami says over here, don't waste energy. I remember that, you know, when supposing Swami would call us into the interview room, and one of us, we would, you know, close the door a little faster than usual, it would make a noise.
Right.
And Swami would turn and say, it wasn't the noise that really, you know, put him off. It was the fact that the way we conducted ourselves was not, it didn't have balance in it. It didn't have the grace in it. So that grace comes from that same kind of balance. And you would say, why are you wasting that much energy? And B, do you think the door does not feel it? And I remember this when it comes to balance. You see, when the thing was when we enter Swami's interview room, and Swami would not give us any instructions what is to be done, but there was an implicit expectation that we would switch on the fan when it was required. right? So you're not depriving yourself. But the moment the interview concluded, if one of us forgot to put out the fan, Swami would say, "Hey, Marchipoye, you have forgotten." So you see, this really symbolizes, fan has to be there, it has to be on, it is not that you need to sweat. But the moment it is not required, you switch it off. And you can see that how much awareness, how much being present in that situation, how much it calls for.
You know, even as you're giving that fan example, you know, I had a friend who is into derivative, financial derivatives.
Right.
And he was one day explaining very graphically how it works. And he was telling that, you know, suppose it's a, they would speculate on the weather.
Uh-huh.
How much money you would invest in the power company,
right,
based on the weather.
Okay.
So he was telling how that works. So he was saying that if it is dark by 8 in the morning,
right,
you know, the sun is not yet up. So there is a chance that people will switch on the lights early in the morning.
Yeah.
And the study has shown that they would not switch it off even if it becomes bright later.
Right. Okay.
So on those days when the sun rises a little later, the power companies make more money. You know, it's a pattern. I mean, we've got into this mistake. And you know, just quickly, I'm just wondering at how beautifully Swami is connecting these things. You know, three things which Swami is connecting. Swami is talking about the welfare of society and ceiling and desires.
Right.
So he's connecting the individual to the society.
Yeah.
But you know, talking of ceiling and desires, you know, when would you overwork yourself? Or when would you, let's say, overdo anything? You know, that might come out of a certain anxiety or fear.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, when you feel that I need to work more, I need to earn more, that greed comes out of a bit of anxiety and fear of the future.
Yes.
And I say that is what Swami addresses in the paragraph before when he says that, you know, give up fear and anxiety.
Exactly.
Don't look at the future and be afraid of it. So,
and
I know that feeling of limiting your fear and anxiety actually is so well connected to ceiling on desires.
Yes. And when I'm saying twin purpose, the second purpose, so the first purpose was achieving a certain balance of mind.
Right.
So, as I'm saying, a person who has balance of mind, of course, exhibits all these, he's an ideal in these matters. But we are proceeding in the reverse direction. So, having, you know, the more effort we make into putting these points of, these points into action, and we'll start achieving that balance of mind by exercise, in the sense that we are training our mind to have that kind of balance. That is the one fallout of it. The other fallout is you expand your, you know, definition of yourself in that sense.
Right.
Your interests are no longer, you're not concerning yourself with only your interests. Now you're looking at the broader interest. So as you said, that Narayan Seva is when your, you know, your interest is now into the community. How do I benefit the community? And Swami says, in fact, speaks of a higher, he says national interest. So he says much of your, all this balance that has to be maintained is between your individual interests and the national interest.
You know, talking of this thing of one's ceiling on desires and one's individual discipline helping the nation, you know, there was an interesting mail which was circulating sometime back where an elderly person, maybe in his 70s or 80s, you know, he spoke of the time when, I'm not sure who was the Prime Minister then, he made a statement in public radio saying that we are having a very high deficit in food grains. Like, you know, we're not able to be self-sufficient. So he said that was a time when he was in college and many of the students decided that they will have only two meals a day.
Oh, all right.
They said we will reduce our consumption.
Right.
And he said that he had done it for so many decades. Because he said by few of us giving up food, there might be somebody who will be getting that meal.
Yes.
And you know, he was actually narrating how now India is able to export some of those grains.
Exactly. No, in fact, this topic is so current, even the current Pope Francis, like in one of his talks that he gives at the Vatican every week, I think on a Wednesday, he addresses the audience in the St. Peter's Square.
Right.
So he actually brought this out. He said this, and I quote him, "This culture of waste has made us insensitive even to the waste and disposal of food, which is even more despicable when all over the world, unfortunately, many individuals and families are suffering from hunger and malnutrition." So this is something that, you know, that is occupying people at different levels, at policy level and even in the spiritual realm, we see that the Pope himself has now brought out, and this is something that the community has to, this is a transformation that the community has to bring about, and Swami has been emphasizing this from very long.
And you know, even addressing that as a policy issue, as you are saying, you know, and you were also telling about expanding your concept of yourself.
Yes.
Because for many of us, we always see, I can afford it. As long as I can afford it, then I can afford to waste it.
Exactly.
But we don't see, can we afford to waste any resource as a society? Like, you know, let us say the power consumption or fuel consumption. We only see that, can my wallet afford it?
Exactly.
We don't see, but as a society, actually, can we conserve it?
How much and for how long? These are the two things that we don't really concern ourselves with.
And, you know, talking about this ceiling on desires with relation to money, and before we come to that, Swami says that four aspects of ceiling on desires. Swami says, don't waste food.
Yes.
Don't waste money.
Yes.
Don't waste time. And don't waste energy. In fact, in between, Swami also slips in, don't waste knowledge. We'll come to that very interestingly.
Yes.
But generally, even in the earlier years when Swami used to talk about ceiling on desire, these were the four. There is food, money, time and energy. Now, talking of money, Swami had told earlier in many occasions, Swami would say, money is given to you on trust from God. You know, very interestingly, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say this. He said, how do you give alms to a beggar, or how do you help the lower or the underprivileged section of the society? He would say, it's like a father who is a very rich man. He has two sons, okay, and one is a spendthrift. One spends indiscriminately, and the other is a more balanced and a more intelligent person.
Yes.
So the father would give more money to the person who is more sensible, so that he will take care of the other brother when in need.
When in need. Okay.
So actually, both are equally eligible to receive the wealth of the father. But the father distributes the wealth in such a way so that both benefit.
Yeah, maximizing the overall
benefit. And Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said, this is the attitude with which you should go out and do seva.
Right.
It is not that I am giving you money.
Correct.
He is saying that I am giving you the money which was entrusted to me.
Yes.
So that it will come to you in need.
Wow. That's a great insight, you know, really. And even as you are saying this, one of the incidents, it has been said many times in Kulwanthal in Swami's presence. But when Swami had announced the water project, Swami himself had said this, that there was this student who one day came up to Swami and with an envelope, and inside the envelope it contained about 100 rupees.
Right.
And Swami said, this is worth more than a crore to me. The boy had said that, Swami, please utilize it for the water project. So Swami said, this is more than a crore, worth more than a crore to me. And the reason is, how did that boy generate that money? He said that the boy would not give his clothes to the dhobi, instead washed it himself, and thus saved that money and gave it to Swami. So yet again, see, it the intention behind ceiling on desire is to be able to contribute to society.
Very true.
Yes.
And you know, that's where Swami starts the next part, where he's saying a very, very strong balance has to be maintained between the individual interests and national interests.
National interests, exactly.
I mean, it's very beautiful because, you know, Swami is all through this discourse or the previous one, Swami is never talking about extremism at all. Not talking about where you give up what you have and go and serve the society or any extreme moves like that.
Yeah.
Swami is always talking about balance.
Yes.
Like that seems to be the most important word in whole of spirituality, really.
Really. As you were saying this, there is this mantra which we chant very often in Kulwanthal. It's the Ishavasya Upanishad, and it's called an essence of the Gita itself.
Okay.
It, like, just like the Gita has 18 chapters, this has about 18 verses, and they say this is the essence of all knowledge.
Okay. What is it called? It's a suktam or something?
The Ishavasya Upanishad.
Okay.
So, many people must be familiar because the beginning lines are also very well known to people. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. So, with this, if one when actually studies this Upanishad, the main theme, the underlying theme throughout is one of balance. So they say, like, between work and, you know, person who does not work, a person who knows and does not know. Both of them are in darkness. The person who thinks he has knowledge and the person who is ignorant, both are in knowledge. So the person who realizes that he is beyond both knowledge and not knowledge, he is the person who will transcend and see who he truly, he sees the self.
You know, the typical Zen fashion, the story which they say, a man goes to a monastery and he happens to bump into one of the disciples of the master, the grand master. You know, asks him, what is the truth? You've been here for so many years. So he gets a 45-minute discourse. He says, you know, this is the thing, that is the thing. And, you know, he gives a whole explanation juxtaposing against worldly knowledge and spiritual knowledge. And then he says that anyway, you go and meet the master because he's the best one to talk about it. So then he, with all reverence, goes to the master and asks him, Master, what is the truth? And the master says, I don't know. You know, the fact that you recognize that you don't know actually may be a much more elevated state than claiming to know.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, talking of energy again, Swami is talking about sailing on, the good use of energy. We are all very aware, you know, in hostel, one of the catchwords, which whenever it apparently appeared like Swami was unhappy with us, you would see all boards going up saying that talk less, study more. Because that was something which Swami would often tell when he would talk to students. Have less contacts, talk less. And it's a beautiful analogy which Swami is giving here of the radio. Like, you know, it is not that you mute the radio, the energy is being conserved. The radio is still running and still it's using up energy. But Swami is saying that it's not enough if you don't talk, you should also reduce the amount of thinking which happens.
The chatter inside our head never stops. So that chatter is what is really consuming that energy.
Yeah, that's what Swami says here. You're thinking when sleeping, you're thinking when walking, you're thinking when everything. You know, reminded of what happened with Ramana Maharshi. He was known as a person who maintained a lot of very strict silence. And people would go and sit just in front of him. He would hardly speak, but just to be in his presence. So it seems one man came to his presence and he was you could call a thought reader. He could just sit in front of you and read your thoughts. So it seems he came and he sat in front of Ramana Maharshi claiming that I will tell what Ramana is thinking. Because Ramana was not speaking out what he was thinking. And the anecdote goes that it seems he sat there for hours on end. And at the end of it, he got so frustrated, he fell at Ramana Maharshi's feet and he said, not a single thought passed his mind, even as he sat in silence.
So, moving over to what comes next, and the last aspect of sealing on desires is don't waste time. And here, Swami is really bringing about the fact as to how we actually waste time. In one, he says, you waste your time in brooding over the past and also in worrying about the future. So he says, this is again very important for our lives, because he says that whatever has happened in the past remains in the past. Whereas what we tend to do is to bring that into the present and, you know, it muddles up a lot of things. And similarly in worrying about the future, he says what is happening in the future is totally uncertain. We do not know what can happen in the future. And yet we let our worries about the future totally affect the way we act in the present.
And sometimes we feel restless if you're not worried about the future.
Yes, you'll be thinking that, you know, maybe you're heading headlong into some kind of disaster.
Again, so, I think that's the question of balance. You know, there's always a balance between indifference and involvement.
Yes.
You know, we think that being non-involved or being detached is a sign of indifference. But there's a big difference between that. And that's where the virtue of balance comes in.
Yes, and when you're speaking about Zen, there is a distinction in Zen which they bring to bear on, you know, this kind of situation where you think about and you're worrying about the future. So they say a master is not one who can control the future, but he is one who can, no matter what the present is, he can accept it the way it is. And just as we say over here that, you know, mentally created fear. You see, many of the times that something that we call a when we label a situation bad, it is bad because only we said so. So Zen master is a person who would, you know, any situation you say like the situation is good or bad, he says, if you say so. If you say it is bad, if you say so. Is it good? If you say so. So that's what the way to deal with this, you know, uncertainty with the future is actually to develop the habit of acceptance.
Very true.
Swami used to say a very empowering way. He would say that whatever happens to you is for your good. So, yes, as you said, a certain amount of deliberation, yes, a certain amount of worrying has to be done. But after that, this is the characteristic that would really help us to be able to accept the way, you know, things take really? Place, the way things turn out.
Talking about accepting the presence and that moment,
yes,
you know, in Vedanta philosophy, in commentaries on Vedanta, it is said that a yogi is one who does not have a like or a dislike.
Yes.
He accepts whatever comes to him.
Yes.
So because of that, a yogi becomes a mahabhogi. Because a bhogi can only
enjoy
certain things, certain smells, you know, certain tastes, certain happenings.
Yeah.
But a yogi will enjoy everything.
Everything.
So he becomes a mahabhogi. And I think really wonderful discussion we had. And, you know, it just goes to show that 10 minutes of Swami's discourse clip, it's so thought-provoking. You know, I think that was one of the reasons why Swami did not ever speak more than 1 hour or 1.5 hours. I think it would have been very difficult to comprehend all that Swami said.
Yes, like I am looking at the text in front of me. I think it would come to less than about 300, 400 words. But simply the amount of wisdom that could be gleaned by this, that it really amazes me.
And we had to speak for 45 minutes to make maybe 10% sense of what Swami has made in that 10 minutes.
And even then, I think we would have merely scratched the surface.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. And there's a lot more to be gained by introspection on this. And I really do hope that we'll all do it. So as the and the end, you know, like as Swami says, it is not for Swami's sake that we do it. We do it because there is a certain end in our life, and that is called moksha.
Absolutely.
That all of us are moving to.
And in fact, you know, that is the chinta which is the positive chinta.
Yes.
That is the restlessness which God has put in all of us.
Yes.
Because if not for that restlessness, maybe the progress will not be so proactive.
Exactly. It is the one thing that takes us forward. The rest can be compared as merely running at exactly where you are. So.
Right. Thank you, Hari, for that, for your company on this program. That, dear listeners, was this week's Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. And as we said, we do hope that each one of you would listen to these clips again and again and ruminate over it. And if there is anything that you would like to share with us, do write into listener@radiosai.org. That is listener@radiosai.org. One of the listeners wrote back to us saying that how much he enjoyed this program, especially at dinner time. It felt like perfectly timed, because as we eat food, you get to listen to Swami's discourse. We are very glad that you like this program, and we would like to ask you for suggestions to improve this, or what you think about this program. And more important, we would be very glad that if you think up of the points which were interesting to you and which struck a chord in your heart, we would love to emphasize on that and share that with all our listeners. With that, dear listeners, we offer our most humble pranams to Bhagwan's lotus feet. And on behalf of all listeners, I thank Brother Hari from the Central Trust to have joined me on the show today. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Brother Bishu of Radio Sai with this last segment of today, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.